This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads today's show are as follows. Live local streaming TV. Can you get that in your neighborhood? FCC has received over 10 million comments on net neutrality. Also, we're going to show you a very unique Google Street View, kind of from out of this world. We're going to talk about Elon Musk and the Hyperloop New York City to DC run. And we're going to talk about, could SpaceX new heavy lift spacecraft crash on its initial launch? All those stories, plus all the news of the day today. I want to welcome you to episode 1213 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, July 20th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider, by becoming an insider, or paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the brand new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out for the very first time. And there's a few things you need to do to really get dialed in to the show here. And it's very, very simple. And actually, let me see if I can get this to work. Is this doing what it's supposed to do? Yes, it is. You basically visit geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over on the website, there's a, on the right-hand column of the website, there's a place to subscribe to the show. And that'll get you connected so that you don't miss a single episode. We want you to get signed up for the newsletter as well. The newsletter contains all the links, all the articles that I'm going to talk about tonight, so you have something to reference. So for you new listeners out there, did you hear that? I almost said losers. That's horrible. I almost said it, though. In 1,213 episodes, I don't think I've ever had that almost come out of my lips. That's horrible. Oh my God. I caught myself like a microsecond beforehand thinking, what is your lips about to pronounce? Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, you new listeners who are winners, thank you for being here. And again, get over and visit the website. Those of you that are longtime winners and listeners of the show, please email me geeknews@gmail.com on any of your comments today. This should get a few comments. And of course, we want you to follow on Twitter @geeknews. Join our Slack channel by sending me an email and say, I want to join the Slack channel. We're missing a bunch of you over there, so please consider joining the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook, just searching my name, Todd Cochran. Watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on your Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or view on Blueberry.com. Watch or listen on Blueberry.com. Or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include our good friends at No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, of course, my Pro Gear site being put together by the GNC team, the New Media Show, which is put together by Rob Greenlee and I, and soon, if I can get a list of names to Kirk, a bigger list, ongoing editions of the podcast Legends Show. So that is a work in progress every time. Do you have a podcast legend that you want to hear an interview from? Drop me a line and we'll get him booked. Get him or her booked up on the show. Hey, of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com, and we want you to take advantage of all the deals that they have available. The July promo codes are hot in action. We had a pretty good week this week. I was looking at the data, and we were a little behind earlier in the month, and this week was kind of a catch-up week, so I think we're on mark to meet our numbers, but I'm going to tell you, if you haven't used any of my codes lately, You do know you can save 30% on new product purchases at GoDaddy by using the promo code CJCGNC30. You get a .com one time only, 99 cents, 99cents.com by using the code CJCGNC99. Of course, there's a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. That's for the first 12 months. $12 for economy hosting includes a free domain. You get a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting, again, for the first year, $12. And that also includes a free domain. Those two codes are CJCGNC1HS and CJCGNCWP1. Don't forget about, for you business owners, the one-month free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder. Your choice of personal, business, or business plus plan, CJCGNC free is the code. And, of course, all those, again, are available over at geeknewscentral.com. And it's geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is the place to go to grab a deal. And I want to continue to thank our sponsor. 12 years continuous sponsorship here of the show at Geek News Central. No other show in podcasting has that long of continuous support by any advertiser in the podcasting space. So we want to thank them for their ongoing long-time support of this podcast. All right, so let me go ahead and give you just kind of a rundown here tonight. This has been a week of interviews. I've done a bunch of interviews off schedule. I normally only do interviews on Saturdays, but I've had so many requests and people say, well, we don't do interviews on Saturdays. So I've opened my schedule up every morning this week, except for this morning, to do interviews. And so that's been kind of fun. But talking with clients all week, bringing on a lot of pro customers. We got a lot of SoundCloud folks that are escaping SoundCloud right now that are migrating. So we've been busy doing that. The support team has been very, very busy. Phone's been ringing off the hook. Just, you know, huge influx. It's been an interesting July. July is normally kind of like a, you know, kind of like a steady as she goes. But for the first maybe 15 days of July, it was just like a record influx of brand new podcasters. And then we started seeing this huge onslaught of SoundCloud users that were making the escape. So it's been a big week or so, and so we've been very, very busy. One thing I didn't do tonight, and this is the first time I think I have forgotten this in years, is in the studio I left the side windows closed. So I would imagine by the end of the show, it's gonna get a little bit toasty in here. So, yeah, a bunch of firsts tonight. Well, anyway, some things I've been experimenting with, and they've been finding huge success. I've been doing some Facebook advertising in two places, on the Blueberry page on Facebook, and also some stuff I've got going on social media. And there was a video that I posted Monday, and it was nothing to do with podcasting whatsoever. I had stuff to do in relation to what was going on in my hometown. And I did a small boost to that that post. That garnered 8,300 video views. And I was pretty surprised, to be quite honest with you, that it garnered that much. But it was very targeted, a 50-mile radius from the area. I wanted people to kind of be watching it. And it just got a huge reaction. Now, on the Blueberry side, we've been doing a little bit of advertising, and it's basically, they call them boosted post, and it's basically advertising your post. And I've been using some targeting with that and seeing mixed results, not fantastic, but not bad either. So it's been kind of interesting watching this. I'm tracking the completions, how many comes through for sales and all that stuff. And the jury's still out, but I like to be able to control the message and what we basically advertise within Facebook. And so many people are spending so much time on it; it seems to working very well. So, or working decently. But you know, I've been working on it with a lot of social media social media tools. We track our competition with some tracking services. We use a Hootsuite to do team social tweeting and stuff. So I'm just kind of curious, what kind of tools are you folks using? What kind of tools are your companies using? My tool that I use right now for basically tracking competition and watching out for discussions about our company and our products is a company called Mention.com. So I'm kind of curious, what are you guys using? What, you know, for those of you that have a business and you're doing social media intelligence, what is that tool? What are you using? And, you know, be honest with you, some of the things can be, whoa, I mean, it's way beyond our budget. And so I'm surprised, you know, some big companies are spending, well, maybe not even big companies, but some of these tools can cost $1,000, $2,000 a month subscription-wise. Web.mention is nowhere near that cost, but I get a limited number of keywords and different types of searches. And I have an upper limit in results that come from that. And that's still a pretty big bill every month. But kind of curious, what are you guys using out there to track what's going on with your business and what people are saying about it? Last thing tonight, and this is an image challenge to all of our Ohana. I want to see if I can find, where did it go? Huh. So normally here, so what have we got going on right now on the TriCaster is a situation where once in a while we have a every once in a while we have a rogue graphic, and I just got it to recenter, and see it's already trying to track. We get a rogue graphic that, well, the graphic takes off on its own across the screen. And there's something going on with the servo in the, see, there it went again. It's off into Never Never Land. So let me try it again. Let me reset it. And this is becoming quite annoying, to the point where at some point I may have to send in the keyboard. So right now it's holding. Let me size it down a little bit. Those of you listening, what it is, it's the graphic I have in the upper left-hand corner of the video. And it just goes ghosting on me sometimes. And that's not good. How that relates to what I was going to share. I have an image challenge. I'm looking for, we've been using graphics that basically are embedded in iTunes images. And what I want to do is basically get some graphics that will look a little bit different, a little more bigger text, so that when we do have that branding up in the left-hand corner of the website, that people can see it a little better. So if you want to try your creative juices and make some graphics and send them over to me for the for the show graphics for the video, I'd definitely appreciate it. But that's just one thing that, I'm just trying to task people up a little bit, see if they can, those of you that are part of the Ohana, can help the show out. Sam, I know you've created a lot of stuff, and I know that you'll probably step up as well, and I appreciate it. But if any of the other you listeners have some graphic skills, play around and see what you can come up with, something that's cool that we can put on the website. Okay, so let me go ahead here and get out of this general chit-chat stuff, and we'll get into the regular part of this. I got a great show for you tonight. I mean, really, really good. Kirk found a good lineup of stuff. I found some additional stuff. I think this is a good one. I think you're going to have a lot of fun. So there was an article on CNET saying, are your live local channels on a streaming TV service yet? The big five TV streamers, DirecTV, Now, Hulu, PlayStation, Vue, Sling TV, and YouTube TV, all offer some combination of ABC, CBS, Fox, and or NBC. And to be frank with you, I don't think I've watched any program from ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC in a long time. I spent a lot of time like on A&E and those types of channels, Discovery and so forth. So, but if you're cord cutter, you can start looking around, and there has, this article talks about some resources, and there's some charts that basically show which local programming is available not only over the air, but also via your internet stream and who basically it's linked into. So I have that up in the show notes for you to check out. You know, obviously Sling is Sling, YouTube TV, DirecTV, Hulu, PlayStation, so forth. They've got amongst them, you know, total 200-300 local stations. Probably the very, very biggest markets of their LA, San Francisco, and so forth. But anyway, I have a link in the show notes. You can look at the chart. And if you're doing, if you've cut the cord, this might be a good piece for you to go take a look at. All right, the so Josh is saying, what is the Academy of Podcast Award for that's in the background? I was inducted into the Podcast Hall of Fame in 2015. I was one of the first five inductees into the Hall of Fame in 2016. I think they inducted six, or maybe it was only five. You can basically search for Podcast Hall of Fame. You'll be able to go look at the website and see who has been inducted. There'll be another of four or five, I think, has been announced that they're going to induct this year in August. I was quite honored to have been inducted into the Podcast Hall of Fame. If you're new to the show and don't know the history of the podcast, I was probably one of the original 50, maybe first 100 podcasters, and very, very few podcasters that started back in 2004 are still here. And then, of course, all my association with everything in the podcasting space with Raw Voice and Blueberry and everything that we've done, I guess added up enough to they thought I was worthy of it. But we definitely appreciate, thanks for asking, Josh. I do appreciate it. So moving on to the next topic here, there is a report out that more than 10 million comments have been filed at the FCC, and of course, on their proposal to roll back net neutrality regulations. This is more than twice as many as comments that were filed 2 years ago when the FCC was considering the current rules. The Republican FCC introduced a proposal in May to roll back the 2015 rules, and the first public comment period on the proposal ended on Monday. So a rebuttal period is underway now to allow additional comments until August 16th. So roughly 2 million of those comments were filed last week when thousands of activists, individual and tech companies participated in an online protest to educate people about the benefits of net neutrality, according to the Fight for the Future, which my company, Blueberry.com, participated in. So, awesome. 10 million comments. Is it going to make a difference? Is the FCC going to listen? I'd be honest with you, I don't think they will. I think they're going to do what they're going to do, regardless of the public comments. But at least people are on record being able to say, hey, you know, we've got issue, or, you know, for or against. So I'd like to see the ratio. You know, what is the ratio of for and against that have been submitted? That would be kind of cool to see. Google Street Views, you know, I used it a lot. Being that I'm traveling a lot, I if I'm going to a new place and I have no idea where I'm going, I'll definitely use Google Street View to, you know, type in the, get it up on my iPad and type in the address that I'm driving to, and And I use this all often in big cities, because what will happen is I'll roll into a big city, I'll have an address that I need to get to, and if I'm not in an Uber and I'm in a rental car, usually finding the address is a piece of cake, but finding parking is not as often as straightforward. Sure, you can get in the area and you can look around, but I'm kind of like a worrywart to a certain extent, so I'll kind of drive the Google Street View around the block until, or find a garage or find a place to park or look if there's going to be ample street parking, or maybe the building I'm going into has its own parking. So I often use Google Street View to find parking, which is weird, or get, you know, kind of get my mindset on where I'm going to try. So, you know, I've been using Google Street View for really as long as it's been out. And sometimes it's fun to go look at places you used to live, and there's all kinds of cool stuff you can do with Google Street View. Well, Google Street View has taken you aboard the International Space Station. I'm not kidding you. So in case you want a preview of the neighborhood before you make the long trip up there, they've done a pretty cool deal here. They have basically shot the entire inside of the International Space Station, and you can walk yourself through. And it's a fascinating, absolutely fascinating look of the International Space Station, because, you know, a picture is oftentimes, they don't get the whole deal. And you can now just like move yourself slowly, you know, around the International Space Station. You can look up, you can look down. You know, you can go down a hallway, see what's down here. This is cool. And I guarantee you're going to geek out. And Google included info notes for the curious to learn more about the station, technical machinery and points of interest. There happens to be a SpaceX Dragon capsule docked to the ISS during the shoot, so you can spot that as well. It's a little wonky in three-dimensional navigation, but it's still fascinating, and it's an accessible tour of a place where most of us have contributed taxpayer dollars to, number one, maintain it, put it up there, support it. So it's awesome. It really is. And this is the, you know, link of the day almost. And so anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes, of course. But following that right along, big news, Elon Musk today said that he has approval to build a New York City to DC Hyperloop. He claims it'll get you there in 29 minutes. So the Boring Company, B-O-R-I-N-G, Boring Company has certainly been a source of amusement, but the billionaire's visionary has tweeted that he's reserved verbal agreement to build a New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, D.C. Hyperloop, which will get you from New York, again, to Washington, D.C. in 29 minutes. So it currently takes about 2.5 hours to get there between Amtrak's Acela Express. The company is currently working on tunnels aimed at relieving congestion in L.A., so Musk tweeted that the New York, D.C. Hyperloop would be constructed in parallel with city center to city center, including up to a dozen entry exit points per city, followed by Los Angeles San Francisco loop. He also envisions a Dallas Houston San Antonio Austin Hyperloop. That would be awesome, because oftentimes you know, if I'm in Dallas and I want to go down to Austin, it's, you know, decide if I'm going to drive or fly. If there was ever a Hyperloop, man, you just, it's big time a dream here. I don't know what it's going to, obviously we have no idea what it's going to cost, but we're not sure who's going to work with Musk and the Boring Company on these. It's going to be very, very expensive. You know, this is going to take a lot of money, and some of it's staffed by the company staffed by SpaceX workers and a lot of Elon's friends. So this is cool, really, really cool. And you have to just, you know, give this guy credit, because he admits in an interview he recently did that says that SpaceX's big new rocket may just crash on its first flight. Now, this is, you know, this is pretty bold when the when he says that the Falcon Heavy rocket, which may fly September, October, we don't really have a date yet. And really what it is, it's you take a Falcon 9, and then you put two more Falcon 9 main bodies on it, and that that is what, you know, basically 27 motors and whatever's on top to get you to orbit. They said, well, it's, you know, in theory, it sounded pretty simple. You just strap two more main stages on and you rock and roll, but it's thermodynamics and vibrations and sonic waves and sound and everything that goes into it. You got to keep this thing from, you know, shaking itself apart and blowing up. So they've had to go back and, for the heavy lift vehicle, they've had to re-engineer the main body of the spacecraft, of the rocket, to beef it up so that it can handle these stresses. So he says there's a lot you can do on the computer, and you can do a lot of testing and everything else. But he says when we fire this bad boy off, he says the pucker factor is going to be, 10 to the square root of, it's going to be, yeah, a lot of pucker factor. So, but might make for an interesting launch to go see if you're in and around Cape Canaveral. It's going to be a fun one to watch live, that's for sure. NASA has started a Kickstarter campaign. Space Center Houston has launched a crowdfunding campaign to continue expand the restoration of NASA's Apollo era historic mission control to its 1969 state. And this is exciting because it's such a big part of our history. It's a big part of our space history, going to the moon and everything. So if they can restore this, and then it basically becomes a tourist attraction. So I'm really excited to see this Kickstarter. They're trying to raise $250,000. And they say this is going to help preserve a vital part of the country's history. It's a national historic landmark. NASA's Apollo Air Mission Control is comprised of five areas on the third floor of the Christopher C. Kraft Jr. Mission Control Center at the Johnson Space Center. Of course, the most iconic of these areas, the Michigan Operations Control Room, or MOCR, is already the focus of a $3.1 million restoration effort underwritten by the city of Webster, Texas. Webster, Texas is smart because they know people are going to come and see this. So anyway, for the Kickstarter, the Webster Challenge will contribute dollar for dollar up to $400,000. So this is pretty cool. So I think this would be a worthy Kickstarter to throw $10 at, and be part of history to try to continue to preserve and maintain mission control. We talked about the lunar sample bag that went through a whole bunch of legal minutia over the past 2 or 3 years. Well, the owner, who bought it for $900 in a federal marshal sale, basically from someone that had his stuff seized because of tax issues, I believe. The Apollo 11 moon rock bag, and this is what's interesting about this, is when Neil Armstrong came down the lunar lander, he was basically told, when you, after you, you know, step off, say your speech, we want you to very quickly grab some rocks, grab some dirt, and, you know, put this real quickly into this lunar sample bag so that if we have to abort the mission and get you guys out of there immediately, at least we're going to have some samples from the moon. Well, it turns out they were able to bring back 47 pounds of rocks and dirt from the moon. They were able to have a lot, but this particular pouch has some pretty cool history in it because the, this was basically the first collection of lunar surface material. Well, it sold at Sotheby's today for $1.8 million. So congratulations to the lady that did the 900 dollar investment, $1.8 million. I think that's a pretty good return, and you just never know what you're going to pick up at a at a government sale. All right, so on August 21st, and actually that date is the date that I'm going to, let me double check the calendar here. Yeah, August 21st is actually, I leave in the evening, so I'm going to miss it. So on August 21st, there is going to be a total solar eclipse, and you're basically, if you're in Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Missouri, Kentucky, parts of Tennessee, South Carolina, you're going to be right in the sweet spot to be able to see the full solar eclipse. And so what they're going to do is they're pretty excited about this, and they're going to be creating, space.com is going to be creating a website where they're going to have a whole bunch of locations along the line of the solar eclipse that's going to live stream it as it goes across the United States. Pretty awesome, yeah? It's going to be cool. So, so they're going to, if you're not in the dark out zone, they're going to have a whole bunch of places where you're going to be able to see it live. So, most of us, or many of you, have probably already seen a total solar eclipse. But if you've got kids that have never seen one before, this is a great opportunity, and most of them will be out of school. It's summer, the weather's beautiful, so hopefully you'll be able to check it out. I do want to talk about a comic book, and I'm not a comic book collector. If any of us would have had any common sense back in the day, none of these comic books would be worth anything today, because we would have all collected issue one and not taken them out of the bag, and you know all the things that make a comic book very, very valuable. Well, in honor of Wonder Woman, the 75th anniversary, eBay is giving the fans a chance to own three of the rarest Wonder Woman comics in existence. These three comic books include Wonder Woman's initial appearance, her cover art debut, and her first full-length comic book. Wonder Woman first appeared in All-Star Comics number 8 in December 1941, and then had her cover debut on Sensation Comics number 1 in January 1942. No one knew that these three uncirculated, Wonder Woman number 1, Sensational Comic number, and All-Star Comic number 8 are being auctioned separately on August 13th. But anyway, all three books are the highest graded copy ever found. More perfect examples do not exist on Earth or among the stars. So, ladies, if you are looking for an investment, get your checkbooks out. You're probably going to have to dig pretty deep, because the person that sold these before sold the Superman Action Comics number 1 on eBay in 2014 for $3.2 million. So, one thing you will feel good about if you do pick this comic book up is a portion of the sale will go to Trafficking Hope, a nonprofit dedicated to preventing human trafficking. So those of you that are comic book aficionados, definitely check this out. There's a company that is putting together a smart harness that can help stroke victims learn to walk again. The 30 patients who used it showed dramatic improvement. People recovering from spinal cord injuries and strokes often struggle under the weight of gravity. Recovering gait or a regular walking rhythm can be a real challenge, so a group of scientists may have just made it a little easier. They discovered that a smart walking harness brought immediate and dramatic improvements to patients struggling with mobility. The main problem lies with the way our brains are wired, the team said. Our bodies learn to walk a certain way. After a neurological disorder or an injury, the body needs to be taught to walk a different way. I kind of had to do that a little bit for my injury. That rewiring and a loss of muscle mass that results from being immobile after injury or stroke is very difficult. So they suspended a robotic harness from the ceiling that was equipped with smart programming and it constantly adjusted the support and force to the body's trunk depending on what the patient needed. And patients unable to walk without assistance were able to walk naturally with the harness and transitioned quicker to being able to walk on their own or with the minor assistance. So they're getting smarter on some of this stuff, folks. All right, I need all of you to help me here, because there's a very important day coming. On September 29th, for $80, we're going to be able to buy the 1991 Super Nintendo in a mini size. Now, remember, last time I didn't get the box, the previous box from Nintendo. So they're $80. Now, if you guys help me remember, I'm going to buy a few. Well, I'm going to buy more than a few. And we're going to give one away to the audience. I'm going to keep one, and then I'm going to keep a couple to pay. We're going to keep them from 6 months, and when they quit selling them again, the price will go up, and we'll put them on eBay, and we'll sell them, or maybe we'll make them available to the audience members to buy. But you have to help me remember, September 29th, they go on sale. I think they're going to be hard to get. So it's going to be ugly because you know the other ones were near impossible last time to get. So we're going to keep watching this and tracking it. Okay, get a free Geek Fuel subscription box. Yes, would you like some cool geek gifts? Well, I've got a link for you. I've seen that article from a CNET Deals page. And this geek box, all you gotta do is pay for shipping, and they're gonna put some swag in it. Should be a lot of fun. So definitely check out the link. I'll have that in the show notes. If you're in the UK, now those of you in the UK, don't get mad, but you need to start asking questions. And they need to do this test in the United States too. But according to Lifehacker, in the UK, and if you opt for ice in your soda, there might be poop in all your fast food drinks. CNBC reports investigations from BBC Watchdog series tested, so at least it was BBC that did the testing, tested 10 samples each from the ice at UK chains at McDonald's, Burger King, and at KFC and found traces of fecal coliform at all three with significant levels at Burger King and KFC locations. Fecal coliform is linked to a variety of diseases, and while Burger King and KFC since released statements expressing dismay and a commitment to better managing and handling of ice, McDonald pointed out that the levels found in the ice samples were low, not reliable indicators for potential health risk. They need to do that test here. Here's a better solution. I have cut my soda drinking down considerably, maybe one Coke a week. Okay. Just don't drink soda. Get something else. But it sounds like stay away from the ice. That's what it really sounds like. Hey, Best Buy is selling a 2-in-1 Chromebook for $220. Now into this model offer convertible form factor also supports obviously the Android apps. So I have the link up in the show notes on that. I saw someone using one of those at a beach the other day. I was kind of surprised. Also, Sears. Is there still a Sears in your town? I think there's only one left here in Honolulu. Sears is adding Alexa support to its Kenmore smart home appliances. So hopefully Alexa keeps Sears from going out of business. But if you're in for a new appliance, there will be Alexa enabled within the Kenmore line. So I guess Amazon's also going to start selling Sears Kenmore products directly and a new sales channel for Sears. So good luck to them on that. And they got a little bit of catching up to do, that's for sure. There's a new iOS 10.3.3 update. It fixes critical Wi-Fi security bug. So this is largely for, and it will go to a lot of phones and devices. So, and again, it's available for iPhone 5 and later, and iPad 4th generation and later. So if you don't update, you could get hacked. So make sure you get this bug update that's been released by Apple. iOS 10.3.3, okay? Also, The Verge is reporting Netflix speeds on Verizon Wireless appear to be capped for some customers. And my sister has a... oh my gosh. She was on unlimited Verizon. She had a true unlimited plan. They talked her into coming off the Verizon unlimited plan and being on a Verizon new unlimited plan. So, anyway, long story short, some folks on Verizon are seeing data speed slow down from Netflix when you're streaming videos. So if you're on Verizon Unlimited, be aware that this could be happening. They did some tests via fast.com to see what kind of speeds they would get with Netflix, and most of them did not exceed 10 megs, which still is pretty good. That's enough for HD playback on a mobile phone for sure. But a little bit of net neutrality scares going on here right now. There's something weird going on with Windows 2. Windows 10 may cut off devices with older CPUs. Now, remember, they also said that certain new processors weren't being supported. So this is weird. Microsoft says at least, not if you happen to be the, well, okay, Windows Creator Update for Microsoft says at least, not if you happen to be the unlucky owner of certain older Atom-based Windows devices and other aging models in the future. Basically, they're basically not going to let you upgrade, and sometimes they're not going to let you downgrade. They're not going to, if you have too old of a processor, they are, or a certain processor, they're not going to let you like run Windows 7 anymore. They're going to force you to run Windows 10, so it's kind of a dual thing. They're going to exclude Windows 10 from some processors, but they're not going to let you run Windows 7 on older processors. You're going to be forced to run Windows 10. It's just very weird what they're doing here. For years, the rule of thumb was that you could run virtually any operating system on top of any Intel, AMD, or even Cyrix hardware, and chances are that it would run. It might run slowly, but over time, though, things change. So as malware become more potent, running a supported Windows operating system become more important. Now there's Windows as a service. If Windows 10 never really goes away, what limits PC builders is supported hardware. So now we have to worry about how long all of our PC hardware components are supported, lest we lose access to new versions of Windows 10. So this is, it's just like they're forcing hardware updates. It's crazy. If you want to stay current, or if you want to go backwards, they're not letting you install older stuff. Hey, YouTube, or NASA's released historical footage on YouTube. I actually went to their page and I really didn't find anything that compelling. Anyway, that's available now, about 300 videos. And they're saying an additional 200 is going to be updated in the future. Hey, Twitter says that everyone, even the president, has to follow the Twitter rules and guidelines. The rules are the rules, said a Twitter VP. Did you know if you swear on Twitter that you can get your account locked out for 12 hours? I didn't know that. Don't think I've ever cussed on Twitter either. But that I didn't know that. Last month, Google stepped up its initiative to help stamp out extremism, specifically terrorism-related content. Today, the company is announcing a new initiative on YouTube to help guide people away from terrorism propaganda videos and steer them towards content that debunks extremist messaging and mythology. It's called the redirect method, because essentially redirects users searching for specific keywords on YouTube to playlists featuring videos that counter extremist content. So this is one of the many things Google's doing to try to battle the nasty videos that end up on YouTube so often. Facebook pages can now build their own communities. So this is kind of cool. Groups for Pages is rolling out to artists, brands, businesses, and newspapers. So if you create your own fan club, so how does this work? It's basically called Groups for Pages. The company says the idea stems from two reporters at the Washington Post who started a Facebook group called Post This, where they interact with some of the most avid fans on the paper on a daily basis. Facebook says right now there are more than 70 million pages on its platform, so this is going to be great for many users who don't want their local supporters to feel more connected to them. So I'll be checking that out on Geek News Central stuff, and also some of the stuff I'm working real heavy currently. And I'll get back with you and let you guys know how this works. This is kind of cool. All right, IBM. Artificial intelligence can predict schizophrenia by looking at the brain's blood flow, and it does so with 74% accuracy. Schizophrenia is not a particular common mental health disorder in America, affecting just 1.2% of the population, around 3.2 million people. It's still a lot, but the effects can be really, really horrible. Pioneering research conducted by IBM and the University of Alberta could soon help doctors diagnose the onset of the disease and the severity of the symptoms using a simple MRI scan and neural network built to look at blood flow within the brain. So they're getting smarter. We're going to walk into a scanner someday and they're going to be like, okay, here's your list of stuff we need to fix on you. That's going to happen at some point. Hey, PayPal taps into your Chase and Citibank accounts. You can still accrue bank card reward points when you go through PayPal, but this is kind of cool. So you can pay by PayPal, but it pulls uses your credit card to make the payment, and you still collect miles. So those of you using PayPal a lot, that's good news for you. Samsung hosting Unpacked event for Galaxy Note 8 will happen on August 23rd. So those of you that are Galaxy Note fans, Galaxy Note 8, it sounds to be ready for deployment on the 23rd of August, which is just a few days away. Oh, that's a month away. We're in July. Duh. All right. Also, Engadget's got the Wirecutter Best Deals, Google Home, and Philips Hue bundles. So some light bulbs, some cameras, some headsets. Need an air conditioner? There's some discounts here. So a couple of articles with discounts. I'll have those linked up for you in the show notes. Maybe something that you're interested in. Hey, Alexa's going to help Android users shop in the Amazon app. There's going to be an update here. Of course, iPhone users have been joining Amazon's Alexa Digital Assistant within the retailer's main shopping app for some time. Now, Android owners can finally ask Alexa about packaging shipping, to watch a show on Netflix, or even to pay their American Express bill from the Amazon shopping app on their Google-powered handsets. So it's going to start rolling out. And you'll get access. I still haven't used Alexa on my iPhone. This is kind of a funny article. A U.S. Homeland Security boss has snazzy new laptop bomb scanning technology, but he admitted during conference he doesn't know what it's called. Or maybe he just didn't want to tell them what it's called. They're trying to keep it under wraps. But this new screening technology is going into places like Saudi Arabia, some of these countries that were on these ban lists for laptops, and basically be able to scan the laptop and detect explosive and so forth. Okay. Apple CarPlay now supports Google Play Music. Now, this sounds weird. For some reason, you're an iOS and CarPlay user that also manages your music with the Google Play Music. You're in luck now. Google's music service is now compatible with Apple's in-car system, which means you can control things from the safety of your car display rather than fiddle with your your phone on the road. CarPlay already works with Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, so it made sense that Google would want to get its own services into rotation. The Google Play Music for CarPlay has four main sections, so if you've got that in your vehicle or you have an aftermarket CarPlay receiver, definitely check this new feature out. Intel is accusing Qualcomm of trying to kill mobile chip competition. Intel's weighed in around the fray surrounding the Apple Quantum patent spat by accusing the world's biggest maker of mobile phone chips of trying to use the courts to snuff out competition. The chip giant made the allegation late Thursday in a public statement to U.S. International Trade Commission. The commission requested the statement as part of its investigation into Qualcomm's accusation that Apple's iPhones infringe six Qualcomm's mobile patents. So Intel's statement is really the latest salvo in Qualcomm's battle with Apple. The two companies have been fighting over patents since January. So let's see where this goes. But Intel had nothing positive to say. Not surprising. Hey, YouTube TV expands availability to 10 new cities in the United States. So if you're in Dallas, Fort Worth, Washington, D.C., Houston, Atlanta, Phoenix, Detroit, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Daytona Beach, Melbourne, or Charlotte, you might be interested to know that YouTube TV is now available in your area. And with more cities coming, all right? Cool video on CNET, and it's basically the Hubble is looking at Mars, and it sees one of the moons fly into the picture. And some intern, I think, made this YouTube video. It's pretty quirky, but someone was just trying to have a little bit of sense of humor. I wouldn't normally cover this because we've seen lots of pictures of the moons of Mars. But the video was done in such a way in a minute, 40 seconds, you kind of are left thinking, what 15-year-old did they have working on this? Got some more links about some more NASA Apollo 11 moonwalk moments for you from space.com. Also, over on the Register, they're reporting that Microsoft, even though they're having a banner year, sales are up 109%, they only paid 8% tax. How do they do that? How does is it all offshore money? For the first 3 months, June 30, the Microsoft net income rose 109% and earnings per share of 112%. All of its divisions, with the exception of the traditional personal computer arm, recorded at least double-digit growth. And, only paid 8% tax. Netflix has dropped the full trailer for David Ayer's Bright. It's a cool trailer. This is a big-budget flick. It's starring William Smith and Joel Edgerton as the cops in a world where magic is real. And this is really cool what they've done here. And there's an album coming too, Bright, the album, plus this movie coming in December. Netflix is doing like 40 full-length feature films this year. So you definitely want to check this preview out. Also, MGM is bringing Stargate back. Stargate is coming back as a digital-only prequel. The Stargate Origins will launch in 2017 on MGM's new digital platform. So I don't know how much they're going to charge for this. So I guess this is going to be a series, a prequel, how it all got started. So we'll see where this leads. And all these video services, we're not going to be able to pay for them all. Now, right now, my niece is in Europe with my sister. They're on this like mega tour, and they're getting to see all kinds of stuff. But it's a Harry Potter themed tour. And I don't know how much she spent. I think she spent a fair amount of the money she saved over working 2 or 3 years to do this tour. My niece is a niece that was in the car accident with my dad. She's a huge, huge Harry Potter fan. And so my sister and her are going around, I think they're in Scotland right now, but For $2,185, you too can travel Game of Thrones Seven Kingdoms, including one lovely cave. So for those of you that are Game of Thrones fans, you're going to be able to go around a lot of World Heritage sites, major tourist attractions as well in small towns. And this is definitely going to be a European PR travel company's dream come true. You'll get to see all these places. So, for example, you're going to get to, you're going to be in Barcelona. You have to go to several cities there. Then you're going to have to move on to Morocco. And from Morocco, you got to go to Malta. And from Malta, you go to southern Croatia. And what else? That's where King's Landing is filmed. And then getting back to where the Game of Thrones hail from, you can fly from Croatia to Edinburgh, Scotland. Love Edinburgh. Awesome. So you can see parts of Winterfell, a much shorter flight to Belfast. And then you can see that's where Westeros is, including King's Road and House Greyjoy's castle ruins. And the last stop is Reykjavik, Iceland. So all total, with all those flights and everything, it looks like $2,185. Now, prices fluctuate, and this doesn't include lodging, does not include food, doesn't include transportation. So $2,185 just for the airfare to see the Seven Kingdoms. All right, last article of tonight. We'll wrap things up. Oh, actually, that was the last article. Let me see if we've got any email that has come in. Bada bing, bada boom here. Let me go down to that. Oh, I got an email from Michael. He says, "Hey, Todd, after your recent confusion about being asked about diversity," and this is where I was asked for a diversity plan to work with a programming company, "I wanted to share my observation about what my company has been offering over the last 2 years. My company is a medium-sized financial firm that has been a subsidiary of a Wall Street firm for over 10 years. In 2016, the firm worked with an outside consultant to design and roll out its first diversity program. The program includes employees expressing interest in one or more of the channels, work life, Hispanic, women's, etc. This year, the theme is hidden biases. Each channel is offering their perspective on that theme in presentations and panel discussions through the year. My interpretation of you being asked about diversity in your company is more in that broad way, not just about the diversity of your team, but also how to best service a diverse customer base as well." Oh, okay, that's cool. Have a great week. And that's Mike, and he's out of Albany, New York. So, you know, in serving customers, you know, we do have this a very diverse customer base. It's ironic. I put a Facebook post up today that said, "Today's been International Support Day." Mike, the support lead support at Raw Voice Blueberry, was on the phone to Australia twice, France, England. There was like five or six countries, and you know, there's different expectations in every one of these countries on how you support your stuff and all that stuff too. So we do have global exposure right now. So that's interesting. Thanks for sharing that with me. I definitely appreciate it. And I think that's it. I think we're going to get you out of here in an hour. That's just incredible. I'm off my game here a little bit, folks. Some reason not to, well, I'm not putting so much stuff up in the queue. All right. So let's go ahead and wrap this up again. If you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. I'll be back with you Monday for a regular show in the studio. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Geekness Search Podcast. Everyone, take care. Aloha.